Proverbs, chapter number 25, and verse number 25. And then we'll try to bring to you the things that God has laid upon our heart. I want to read this scripture, and then I'll give you a title, and I'll tell you where the thought came from. Sometimes that's the way it is. God will just seem like God will speak to me. We'll be somewhere, and I don't spend time on any of this Snapchat or what's that, Facebook. Used to be MySpace. I don't do none of that stuff. So if y'all see me with my phone out and I'm not answering a call, I tell you what I'm doing. I'm typing notes for a message. That's usually the way it is. Since I've discovered that, I used to go down the road and have to pull over, write it down. I still do. Now I pull over and I type it in. But we were sitting last Monday and God spoke to me. And that's kind of the way it is sometimes. But let me read this verse and I'll share with you the thoughts that God's put on my heart. But it's in Proverbs chapter number 25, in verse number 25. It's just a proverb, a verse. It says, as cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. You know, last Sunday we were here and it was Memorial Day. And of course, we're not having church on Sunday night right now. But we pulled out and I'm thinking, you know, of my family and I need to do something with my family tomorrow. And I just, going down the road while I was driving, I called and I'm, you know, Siri, you know, helps you out sometimes. So I punched in, hey, give me this number, and I called and I got a number up in the mountains and got a hold, you know, fortunately they had one room for one night. I said, that's good, we'll take whatever you got. So we got home and I told Kendra, I said, we've got reservations for dinner and we need to go. She didn't believe a word I said. Finally, after I was about packed and ready to walk out the door, I said, you coming with us or not? I said, we got reservations at Hook Fins and Pigeon Forge. So we pulled out, and finally I convinced her it was a real deal, not a joke. We got up there, and Monday we went to Dollywood. And we went into Dollywood, and I'll tell y'all, I don't ride rides. I just locate the bathrooms and the places that sell coffee. That's kind of it for me. But we got in there, and they had Daily and Vincent. They had bluegrass and what was it, barbecue. Oh, man. I can deal with that, okay? Bluegrass and barbecue. I'm not riding no roller coasters. It's over. But I can deal with the bluegrass and the barbecue. We waited in line there what seemed like an eternity, and we got in, and we were watching Daily and Vincent. Y'all know who knows who Daily and Vincent is, okay? They got a television show. That's how you're going to know them, okay? Because they're not really played on the radio, and they sing some of the old Statler Brothers songs, and I think somehow they're related to them. Some of you probably know a whole lot more about that than me, but I was sitting there watching it, and I was enjoying it, and my wife and I were enjoying it, and of course, by then, of course, my notes are coming out, and I'm typing in my phone, and she made a comment to me. She said, why are they not bigger than they are? In other words, why don't more people listen to them on the radio, and why isn't it like it was? You remember the Statler Brothers and the songs that they used to sing? And I just looked at her, and it's like God spoke to me. And he said, things have changed. And I said that to her, and I said, things have changed. People have changed. What people want has changed. What's acceptable has changed. And I'm not saying this because it's a bad thing, but I'll tell you something. That, folks, that arena was full, and there were thousands of people in there, as many as they could get in, because they went around looking for seats. And I looked around, and Kendra and I were some of the youngest people in that room. And I thought about the change and how much things have changed. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me. And he said, some things have not changed. And what I want to preach about this morning is exactly that. Some things have not changed. You know, some things have changed. Some things have changed for the good. And we mentioned that last Sunday. Folks, I want to tell y'all something. I love air conditioning. I praise God for it. It's almost unfair when you consider how long man's been on the earth, and we've only had it now for less than 100 years, I would say. Folks, we need to believe our Bibles and read it when it talks about in the last days many shall run to and fro and knowledge shall be increased. These ceiling fans, air conditioners, and these LED lights that we've got in here, I like those too. I like church to be bright. I don't like it dark in church. That's just me. I'll deal with it for a little bit, you know, just so they can turn the lights up so somebody can preach the Word of God. But God's blessed us with a lot of good things. We can go through the list of those, but we can also go through the list of things that have changed that maybe we don't like. You know, there was a little church down in Riverside Community, Welcome Hill Baptist Church, where I grew up. That church is gone. They've pushed that church down, and I think they've built two houses right there on the property where it was at, and it's gone. Most of the people that I grew up with in church, the people who signed my ordination paper, I don't know that there's a single one of them that's still living. They've gone. Things have changed. You know, some of the worship and the way we worship, some of the songs have changed. Some of them I like a whole lot. Some of them I don't like. But things have changed. You know, if you look around us at the world today, and this is one thing that I do like. I like to be in an area when you look around at people and you kind of get the feeling from what you're looking at that most of these people believe in God. That's the way I felt when I was sitting in that arena last Sunday, and they said, we're going to sing some gospel, and people started clapping and praising the Lord for a few thousand. For just a minute, I thought I'd like to have 25 minutes. I'd love to preach to 5,000 or 6,000 people at one time. I'd love to do it. But God said, there's some good news, and I want you to tell people the good news. The good news is some things never change. Some things never change. Now, folks, that's good news. And I just want to give you a few of those that God has laid on my heart. And here's the first one this morning I want to share with you. And I want you to think about this and how important this is. Number one, God's character has not changed. Now, that's a great thing for me. That's a great thing for you. God does not change. He is still the same God as He was when, now let's consider this, when the foundations of the earth were laid. When God said, let us make man in our own image. And He spoke the words and the stars came into place and the sun and the moon and the earth became a shape and it became a place where life could inhabit. He's still the same. He's the same as He was when He poured out His blessings on the children of Israel and He led them out of Egypt. He's still the same God as He was when Jesus hung on the cross and for just a moment in time, God turned His back on His Son while Jesus took upon us all the sins of the whole world. You come down into the day and time that you and I are living in today, here's what I want you to understand. He's still the same God. Now, there's scripture for that, both Old and New Testament, and I just want to give you a few verses. Malachi chapter number 3, verse number 6, says this, for I am the Lord, I change not. You go over to the New Testament in Hebrews chapter number 13 and verse number 8, says this, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. And then in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 17 and 18, and I know these are familiar verses, but sometimes we need to be reminded. You know why we need to be reminded? Because when you turn on the television and you watch that news, and if you're like me, you get sick at your stomach really quick, and you're ready to turn it off. You turn on primetime TV, and all you get is garbage and an agenda being pushed in your face. I want to tell you, the world may be changing, but God's not changed. He's not changed. It says this, wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of His counsel. Here's what that immutability means. It means unchangeable. It cannot change. Confirmed it by an oath that by two immutable things, that's unchangeable things, in which, number one, it was impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation who fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope that is set before us. Now here's something to understand about God. His character doesn't change. And that means to me, and that's very important, He will not leave you. He will not forsake you. Now I'm glad that God doesn't change. Sometimes people change. I don't like that, but sometimes when you're around people long enough, You find out somebody cared. You thought they were your friend. They're not your friend. How do you know they're not your friend? I don't know what causes people to do this, because I said this last Sunday. If I'm ever your friend, I am your friend for life. You have to walk away and reject me. Doesn't mean that I don't care about you. I tell you what it means. Probably means my heart's going to be broke. But when Jesus Christ went to the cross and suffered, bled, and died for you and I, he did it for every man that ever lived, past, present, and future, if they would just accept him, and he's not changed today. Now, folks, I want to tell y'all something. I preach like it. Y'all going to have to know. I still like the Andy Griffith Show. I don't get tired of the reruns. I like it. There's some things that have changed today that turn my stomach. But it doesn't mean this. Listen to me. Doesn't mean I'm going to change with it. There's a whole lot of things going on in this world that I don't care who accepts it. I don't care what Supreme Court judge says that it's all right. I don't care what politician like it. I don't care what professor at a school teaches about it. I'm not going to change because of it. And I'll tell you why. See, God's character has not changed. We're going to come back to that in this just a minute. But here's what I want you to understand. God's word has not changed. If you've got a Bible, anybody in here got a Bible you inherited from a dad, a mother, a grandmother? Anybody bring one with you? I've got one at home that's the exact same Bible as this. It's just got a black cover. It's a Nelson Open Bible published in 1977. Got to be the exact one so that when I open it and I look for the scripture, you might see these little dots. The verse is in the exact same place. That's what I look for. This is the second one of these that I've got, and I wore the cover off the first one. God blessed me miraculously to be able to find a second one. When my dad passed away, my mother gave me his. And I didn't know it till I got it home and looked at it, but you know what it was? Exact same Bible. It was a Nelson Open Bible. Published in 1977. You see, you get a different published date. It's going to be the same, but this verse might be up here. And when I open it, I look for it. But here's why I said that. When I opened my Bible and I read it and I laid my dad's Bible beside it, you know what I read? It read exactly the same. And if you go back and you find one, folks, now that goes back a few years, and I know there's been a whole lot of different versions of the Bible. The King James Bible was actually revised 7 different times. But if you get the authorized King James Version that we have today, which was revised its last time around the late 1600s, I tell you what, it's going to read exactly the same way as the one you've got today. Why? Because God's Word doesn't change. Psalms 119, verse 89 and 90 says this, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Thy faithfulness is unto all generations." That's his character. "And thou hast established the earth, and it abideth." Why does the earth abide? Why does the earth work perfectly as it's tilted on its axis and it spins as it evolves around the sun and we have the seasons? It's not because of the Big Bang Theory. I tell you what it is. It's because God's got it on his finger. And he's holding it in place. He says in the book of Isaiah, "The heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you build unto me?" God's word is still the same. Still reads the same today. The truth is, folks, it's people that have changed. It's people and how they look at God and how they accept God. But here's the thing to understand about people and change. A lot of the things that we're seeing today, they're not new. They're just repeats of the same thing. Because people won't learn from history. They won't study about and teach about what really happened to the Roman Empire. They won't study and teach about what really happened during the Holocaust and World War II. And we've gotten to the point that we think we're so intelligent that we don't need God. Doesn't the Bible say that we would be ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth? You ever met one of those kind of people? They've got the answer to everything, but they don't have the answer to anything because they don't have any foundation for truth. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father except by Him. You see, His character hasn't changed. Time may have to go. Y'all hear me start to squeal. God's character has not changed. God's word has not changed. God's promises have not changed. You see, the scripture said in Hebrews 6:18 that it was impossible for God to lie. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 and 4, the verses, part of it says this. It says, "Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises." You see, one thing about this book, it is packed full of promises for the people of God. Yes. Promises for you and me that God has said there are things that we can have, and God's promises don't change. And as I begin to look at this, I thought about this. Aren't you glad that God is not fickle? You know, if you look at that word, here's what fickle means. It means changing frequently, especially as regards to one's loyalties, interests, or affections. God's not fickle. You know, sometimes, and I mentioned, sometimes people like you, sometimes they don't. Why? Because they're fickle. God's not fickle. When I come to Him, and I come before Him, and if I know Him as my personal Savior, here's the thing to understand. I've been saved since I was 12 years old. When I come before the Lord and I bow and I say, "Lord, it's me again, Lord. I got a prayer that needs an answer." Or, "It's me again, Lord, and I've messed up again, Lord. I know, Lord, I told you if you just bless me, if you just forgive me, I'd never do that again." You know what I found God to be? I found Him to be the same every time that I go to Him. You know, I don't go to Him one day and He's got a different hairdo and a different outfit, speaking in a different accent. He's the same God yesterday. He's the same God today. And He is always going to be the same God. He's not fickle. You see, God still cares for you. And He loves you in spite of. And you can fill in the blank. See, the way that God loves us, I believe it teaches us how we ought to love our own. And the best way that I know how to possibly describe it at all, which is actually just a comparison, is maybe the way you love your kids. And I say maybe the way because sometimes people say this, "Well, this one's my favorite." Sometimes people say this, "Well, you know, they're mine, but I don't claim them." And the sayings go on. But I want to tell you something about the Lord. He said that He loved us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And if you got any kind of comparison of the kind of love that I'm talking about, it's when I say something like this and people kind of, they wiggle and they don't know if they would do this. I've said this before. I love my kids and I would die for my kids. God loves your kids. And He'd die for your kids. Sometimes, you know, my wife and I are talking. She said, "Will you die for so-and-so?" Well, I might not. I got my limitations. You've got your limitations. You've got yours. God don't have them. His promises are the same. They're there for you and me. And here's what I want you to understand. God cares for you. I've heard people say, "Well, I don't know that I can go to church because I've got this going on in my life and I've got that going on in my life and I've got to get cleaned up a little bit." That's not the way it works. You come into the house of God and you come just like you are and you come down to an altar and you pour it out before Him. He doesn't look at you and say, "You're too dirty for me to touch. You've been too far." But what He does is He wraps His arms around you. You see, He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. And He knows and He sees, but He still cares. Why? Because you are a child of God. See, every person born has this opportunity. But what some people do is they say, "I don't want God. I do not want the blood. I don't believe in it. I don't want anything to do with it. And they turn God away. But when you come in, it's just like having one that struggles. You know, one thing about some people, we talk about grace, there's some people that really understand it. You know who really understands grace? Somebody who needs it. Somebody who needs mercy. Somebody who asks God for forgiveness, that recognizes they're not perfect. And they come down and they bow before Him. I got a verse in Isaiah chapter 49. I like this verse. It says, "Can a woman forget her sucking child that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb?" Now think about this. I'm going to read the rest of this. Remember when your first baby was born, or your second baby, or your third baby, and you're getting experience by then, but how do you learn to sleep? One eye open and one eye shut. Why? Because all it takes is a cough in the middle of the night. I remember we brought our daughter home, our first baby, and we lived in a trailer up in Woodstock, and I got the bassinet and I drug it to my side of the bed. See, I'm a mothering dad. She would hiccup and I'd... I remember one night where we live now, we got Matthew and Luke, and when Matthew was little, I tell you what he would do. He would chew 10 pieces of bubble gum at one time. And he would swallow it. You're not supposed to eat that stuff. But he would swallow it. And one time he ended up having a paralyzed spot in his intestine. I think this had something to do with it, because we was at church and he chalked up a golf ball of bubble gum. One night he was laying in the bed. He was probably about 2 years old. And I heard him cough. And it's almost like that's not a normal cough. And I run in there to his room and I raised him up and it was a wad of bubble gum. But you know, my ear began to be attentive and it began to be alert. It's just like when the children are out in the yard playing, and it can be like that here sometime, and you can hear a cry and you know that cry. You know that that's your child, and you go running. That's the way God is. It says, "Can a woman forget her sucking child that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb?" Well, it's not likely, but it's possible. You see, it says, "They may forget." It says, "Yet will I not forget thee." Now, you think about how much you love your kids. He said, "That's possible," but he said, "I'm not going to forget you." And he says this, "Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands." Okay? Right now, Jesus is sitting on the right hand of the Father, and I believe He's doing this. I believe He's making intercession for you and me. You ever heard that saying, the only thing there that's been made by hands are what? The scars in the hands of Jesus. You see, when He looks at the Father and He looks at His hands, and when you and I cry, now I don't know that it works exactly like this, but I can almost believe that every time we cry, He feels it. He feels our pain and He feels our hurt, and He will not forget us. And then it says this, "Thy walls are continually before me." You know what that means? He knows your limitations. Amen. You read in the 103rd Psalm, He said, "He remembereth that we are but dust." But He loves us. And His promises never change. The world may be changing. You may be getting sick and tired of the news. You may be getting sick and tired of the politics. But I want to tell you something. God's not changed. Amen. And He's coming back.
Amen.
Should have took the towel off sooner. Now here's something else that hasn't changed. And this is something I thought about. And this is very important. I want to tell you something that has not changed. How a man gets saved. It's not changed. You know, we have people today that want to do anything they can do to get to heaven and be assured other than bow before a living God. Some people say they believe in God, but they don't know who He is. They won't surrender to Him. They don't have a relationship with Him because they won't surrender. John chapter 3 and verse 3. I want to read a verse of Scripture. A preacher friend of mine said he got saved when a preacher was preaching on this verse. It says, "Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now that word verily, if you look it up in a dictionary, it says it is an archaic term. But here's what it means. We just don't use it anymore. It means truly, certainly, or surely. But he said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. This preacher friend of mine, he said, I went into a church, and he said, I was a wild man, I was an alcoholic, I would do whatever it was that was mean, I would be found doing it. He said, but somehow my wife had convinced me to go to church, and he said, I sat there, and the preacher preached on this verse, and he said he was pointing his finger. Now, if I point my finger, I'm not pointing it at you, but the Holy Spirit will. He said, but that man's finger reached all the way from the pulpit to right in front of my face. And he said, all I can remember is those words, verily, verily. And he said, I didn't even know what it meant. He said, but God had a hold of my heart. You see, what people need today is they need to be saved by the grace of God. They need to be born again into the family of God. Having a form of godliness, denying the power thereof is not enough. Saying you believe in God and giving Him the characteristics that you want Him to have and accepting certain things is not enough. You must surrender and you must move at the answer of the call of the Holy Spirit, and you must come the same way that they've always came. You must surrender to the call of God. You see, if you get saved, you must come through Jesus Christ. I believe the only way to heaven, like the Bible says, is through Jesus. Amen. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Amen. Some people say they believe in God, and the reason they have a problem with that is because they absolutely refuse to surrender. You see, but here's something that hadn't changed. The blood is still a covering for all things that are brought to it. You see, I don't care what you've done in your life or where you've been or what you've done. If you bring it, the blood covers it. What does the blood not cover? What you do not bring. But if you refuse to bring it, you'll have nothing to cover it when you stand before God. You see, because the blood still covers, it still cleanses, and the blood of Jesus Christ still saves. The cross still stands as a symbol of both victory and salvation. You know, when you consider the cross and what it was a cruel death, a punishment for men that had in most instances committed heinous crimes. It would be similar today to us carrying a picture of an electric chair around on a chain. But what it means for the Christian is this is our salvation, because Jesus went to that cross and He went there in my place. And I worship Him, I praise Him, and I thank Him. Like the scripture says, the handwriting of ordinances that was against us was taken away and it was nailed to that cross, and it won't be coming down. And can we say this has not changed, folks? Praise God, the tomb is still empty. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. It wouldn't be enough to just have the cross, but the tomb is still empty. You know, as we live in the day and time that we're living in, the farthest date into history as we know it, I want to stand here before you today and I want to say something else that hadn't changed. Is God, Jesus Christ, is still coming back like He said. That's not changed. You know, the Bible talks about that there will come a time when people will mock at those words. And they'll say something like this: since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were since the beginning of time. But then the scripture goes on to explain that it is the long suffering of our Lord that is salvation unto you and I. What does that mean? That means that every day that the Lord holds back, it's an opportunity for somebody to be saved. It's an opportunity for somebody's life to be changed. God's not changed. If you look around us, we can see there is a lot of change. But God's still the same. God's character is still the same. God's word's still the same. God's promises are still the same. The way a man gets saved is still the same. Why? Because there's another thing that's very, very important that hasn't changed. Is that the Holy Spirit is still drawing people to an altar of repentance. You know, I mentioned the finger of the preacher, and he said he pointed that finger right in my face. The Holy Spirit pointed that finger right in his face. See, God knows exactly where everybody in the house is at. He knows where you're at in your life and in your relationship with God. And what the Holy Spirit does is it goes and it visits each person as God sees fit, and it draws. But here's what needs to take place is when the Holy Spirit draws, that's God calling you. If you want to get saved, you got to come the same way. You got to answer that call. I've seen people get saved in church. I've known people get saved at home. I heard a testimony of a man said he got saved driving down the road. He said, I asked God into my heart, and he said, the Holy Spirit filled that car. My eyes started watering. I started just, he said, I got so excited I had to pull over. Amen. See, the Holy Spirit is still drawing people to an altar of repentance. Aren't you glad that even in the world of change, and we're seeing it, folks, aren't you glad that some things don't change? Yes. Amen. Now, I want to ask you something this morning. We're going to get them to sing a song. Come to what I think is the most important part of the service, and I know we've already had some movement, but ask yourself this question. Are you prepared to meet God? Are you prepared to meet the Lord if He were to come back right now? Or if, let's just say if He were to call you, are you prepared to meet Him? Are you prepared to stand before God and know that you'd be all right? Not because of what you've done, because you and I can't be good enough to get into heaven. But have you accepted Jesus? Have you asked Him into your heart? Do you have loved ones that you want to see again? If today was the last day that you were to have on earth, you say, well, I got plenty of time. If you live another 50 years, that's not long. Question is, what are you going to do for those 50 years? See, if today was your last day, are you ready to see the Lord? And think about this one. We're talking about things that have not changed. What about a person that's saved by the grace of God? They know the Lord, they walk with the Lord, but things just don't seem to be the same. Here's what I want you to understand. If things are different, God's not changed. Maybe you've changed. And maybe what we need to do, and I believe this is very important, folks, in the day and times that you and I are living in, is we hold on to the things that are important and sacred. There's some things we just don't turn loose of. There's things I like about the changes, and I like the air. I like these lights that shine on the ceiling. I like these projectors. But if we ever get to the point where we're coming to church and we don't have God's Holy Spirit move like it did this morning, that's a change I don't want. I'm going to tell you something right now before you stand. Here's a change you never want. Is get to the point you come to the house of God and God don't speak to your heart. So if God's calling you and God's speaking to you, here's what that means. That means God loves you. And something hadn't changed is the Holy Spirit and the call still going out. I'm going to ask you, if you would, to rise to your feet. If you feel like praying, would you come? If you don't feel like praying, would you pray?